Hey, how you guys doing? This is A Lot of Hats Podcast, and I'm your girl, Christina Faith.
And a brilliant dummy. Why do you laugh at me every week? It's okay.
And a brilliant dummy. And we are the A Lot of Hats Podcast. I need some sound effects or something. Matter of fact, that's how we get up here. The annoying ones, too. And so today we're going to talk about quarantine creatives. Like, what has life been like for you during 2020, which is going to be 2021 and part of 2022, potentially, if they don't find a vaccine? I'm just being honest. Like, everybody, like, I hate 2020. You need to just hate COVID.
We about to be in 2022.
Part two. Yeah, things. Yeah. No, because I know no one I know is taking this vaccine. So, yeah. So I think we could talk about how this podcast was birthed out of COVID life, right?
Yes, it was.
And so I had been for years trying to figure out like how to make podcasts, and well, I know how to do them, but how to do them for Creative Thought Media. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I was doing was before COVID hit, like in March, we were scheduled to start recording two different personalities. So I was like, mm-hmm. All right, I got some really cool friends that they have amazing conversation. Let's just get them to do podcasts. And so we had meetings and everything. And then COVID hit, and I was like, I'm not going around them. Not mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And so, but that was also a part of me not wanting to put myself in front of camera, right? Like, I don't mind doing Instagram and stuff like that, but I have been very reluctant, like, to even be in stuff that I write.
Why?
I think I didn't want to accept the fact that I'm talent as well, right? And I think it became like a crutch that I was using, right? Mm. So like even Love You Right, that's coming out in February 2021, gang, gang.
Yes, yes,
new single coming out soon, gang, gang. But even in that, we had wrote a role, and I tried to get somebody else to play it, and they wouldn't do it. And then finally I was like, screw it, I'll just do it. Mm-hmm. And then I did it, and I was like, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think also in the beginning of January, I think I took some pictures and stuff too. And so I was preparing because my mother is just like, she just was always encouraging me, like, we need to see the fullness of who you are, not just some of the things that you create. Mm-hmm. And so we came up with this idea of this podcast. I said, if we're going to do it, it has to be visual as well as audio because I need the content.
Help, she got me, y'all.
In order to help pump up,
she got
right,
me.
CTM. And so, yeah, so this is birthed out of that. Let's right. walk down some thought process, right, about why you decided to do it. And while we're filming this, no one has still seen who she is. And so I would like to walk down that because I know my insecurities about using myself, mm-hmm. right? I would rather push someone else forward as opposed to me stepping forward. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So you moved to LA. Before you moved to LA, right, were you as people don't need to see me as you are now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always
so it's
been
always been like that. Okay. Yeah. So tell me, tell the people your thought process.
I mean, of why I decided to just do this?
Yeah.
You know, I am always evolving and growing. Mm-hmm. And there are, there's a lot of things that over the years I've started doing that I did not want to do.
Okay.
And I do see that there is, you know, freedom on the other side of those things that, you know, no, I'll never do that. I'll never, you know. Mm. So even in the course of us, like, doing the podcast and preparing, like, I go back to elementary school, and we used to have to write these, they were called, like, African-American oratorical. We had mm-hmm. this contest. And I would get picked, like, every year for, like, 3 years. And I would have to go in front of the school and speak. And, I mean, I've said this on a previous podcast. I was super shy as a child. I didn't talk to nobody. Family members, nothing. I just didn't like talking to people. And so...
Do people make you anxious?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I've just always been to myself, you know? And that's, I don't know, just naturally, like, I mean, I grew up with two older brothers and both of my parents in the home. And so, you know, at some point growing up, like, my parents would be at work, and then, like, my brothers would be hanging with each other. And so I was always in, like, at basketball practice or doing some extracurricular activity. So I wasn't, like...
So did you talk to the people at your extracurricular activities?
Nah, because it was, like, piano lessons or, like, isolated little things. So, you know, it was, like, one-on-one stuff. And so, or I was just working on stuff with my hands. So I've just always been someone that could just be to myself. And so I never, you know, but ironically, like, all of my friends in elementary school were the class clowns. And so I learned humor being around them. Right.
Because they would step forward regardless.
Exactly. And I started picking up, like, oh, if you can make people laugh, though, then, like, they'll like you, or you can at least open up, you know, to them. Mm. And so I use my humor as kind of a way to open up to people. But I just always kind of been to myself. Mm-hmm. And so, but going back to that story, so now I'm looking like, you know, now I'm seeing things happen. I'm like, man, like, Lord, you were preparing me way back when none of this was even thinking about that, you know, of just talking, speaking in public and stuff. And so those are the things that, like, I go back to my mind, like, oh, like, I'm supposed to be doing this. You know what I mean? Mm. And so, yeah, it's very out of the box for me. It's uncomfortable. So we gotta pray before we do these things. I gotta pray before we come in here.
You gotta fast a couple days, yeah,
right? You know,
you came in like this today.
Yeah, I just, you know, and that was weird. Like, I played basketball growing up, you know, from elementary to college, and the more nervous I was before a game, the better I did in the game.
Okay.
And so I've kind
of... This is a form of humility.
Yeah, I've kind of, like, taken that with me. So, you know, but I'm doing it. We're here. And it's okay. I didn't die.
You know? How are you going to feel when people like, actually see you, though?
I mean, you know, I don't
know.
You're
already trying to limit how you post it. And so I'm just like, you know, this is a part of the people that's going to get this audience, right?
It's baby steps. So, you know, if you are a part of the green circle on my Instagram, then over the last few weeks, I started, like, putting my face on there. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, see, y'all didn't have to see this. She decides to go to California during this quarantine. I have been banned from taking flights right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm seeing her on four-wheelers in the desert.
I was having
chilling,
a ball.
Riding in Jeeps.
Having a ball.
Standing up, you know, at functions. I'm like...
Having a ball.
This is just... Yeah, y'all ain't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I was loving life. And so, yeah, I guess it's brought us to this moment. I do recognize that I have things to say and share. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to let my own, you know, insecurities or my pet peeves get in the way of,
or more,
like,
so discomfort.
Right, my discomfort, like, you know, from helping somebody else. Like, if these podcasts can give somebody else courage or hope, you know what I mean? Then I'm not going to stand in the way of that because of something that probably doesn't even exist. You know, whatever fears I do have in my head or what people are going to think or perceive, that most likely probably doesn't even exist. And so it's just like, all right, let's do it.
And I think one of the things that I don't think a lot of people realize that are loners is that there is joy, there is growth, there is completion, there is community, not isolating. Right? Isolation is a tactic of the enemy and always has been, right? Whenever he attacks someone, he generally attacks them while they're alone, right? And so I think sometimes because of the anxiety and discomfort that being around and being vulnerable, because really what it is being vulnerable with humans, right? Because humans, we are all bound to hurt each other. Like, you know, if I become friends with somebody and then you kind of see that we're actually starting to be like really good friends, I tell them, I'm going to hurt you because you're human. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a part of being human. Another part of being human, what?
I'm gonna hurt you.
I'm going to hurt you.
I'm gonna cut you.
I might cut you somehow.
right.
It might not be physically.
Right.
But yeah. Human interaction.
Right.
The holiest person will hurt you at some point in your life because we're not Jesus. I think it's in that step backwards that you say, okay, I'm gonna take a step back and I'm gonna take a step forward so I can lean into this and so that we can resolve it. Like, humans are trash. Like, we're just humans. We sinful, we trash, right? Even with Jesus, we're still trash, right? He's made us new, but we trash, right? And we need him because we're so trash. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, the what I've learned, because I've been hurt a lot, like even working with my therapist and going through like my, like starting from the, my first memory that I can remember, right? And then walking through year from year from year, she's just like, you know, you got a lot of trash humans in your life, right? Or I personally, right? Because so for example, you isolate, I'll let everybody in, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, hold on. This is crazy,
yeah.
Right? And so I'm learning to set proper expectations of people. Like, okay, this is where you are. Oh, I see where you're putting me in your life. I'm gonna put you in this compartment over here, mm-hmm. right? Because some people you have really deep relationships with, and some people we just gonna swim. We're gonna stand. We're not even gonna get in the water. Right. We're just gonna put our feet in. Right. And just gonna be a little dip, right? And then I'm gonna walk away from you after we're done this interaction. And I've had to learn that even with people that you work with, even with people that you see on a consistent basis. Like, every relationship isn't meant to be deep, right? Because some people don't have and don't want the capacity to have deep relationship, right? Because deep relationship is even more work.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, you know, and I was just telling my friend the other day, like, I don't know if it's just something I'm going through at the moment. It's this, it feels like the older I get, just the harder it is to bond with people now, or want to even go deep, because I do have, like, a lot of good, solid, strong friendships in my life that have been over decades, you know, and so I put everything I possibly can into, if I call you my friend, you know what I mean? Then there's a certain level of just energy that you are going to get from me. Mm-hmm. And right now, I just don't be feeling like I have energy to give to new people.
So you don't have like levels of energy. You just give everybody everything? That's crazy.
Not everybody.
But I'm saying
it's a select few.
But you don't have like levels of right, entry. Yeah,
right. Nah, not right now. Not right now. I don't know why. And maybe it is just quarantine, because we've been alone and, you know, we on the Zooms and I don't know, the disconnect. And I don't want to use that as an excuse, but
it is an excuse.
I think some of it is some disappointments of being let down from certain situations. And so if a situation even resembles, you know what I mean, something from the past, you're
really
like,
good
nah,
book.
I'm cool.
Yep. Safe people. Henry Cloud, safe people.
But, you know, and you said something to me a few months ago when we were talking.
I remember
a lot of things you told me.
I hope it was
and
good.
We were having a similar conversation of like, oh, why do you want to show your face and stuff? And you were just like, well, you're running away from, like, your calling, right? There is a part of me that is, yeah, afraid of the responsibility of showing my face or having to show up or, you know, commit to something. And now I can't just, you know, run through the back door.
Well, no, you can. I do it all the time. I'm just being very honest.
That's true.
Like, I think people think just because you put yourself out there that you then have to give people everything while you're out there, and you don't, right? You can get this little bit that you're going to get during this one-hour talk.
1 hour.
I'm going to give you 20 minutes afterwards to have a conversation. Some of y'all, I'm going to let y'all get my email. That don't mean I'm going to reply, right? Because at the same time, I still want to be faithful.
You see my face when you say
exactly.
Give away your
at the
email.
Same time, I still want to be faithful
yeah.
over the gift that I've been given, and I don't want to miss someone that God has called for me to be stewarding and helping in life. Right? And so I am a person that I let folks in. Like, come on, let's try this. And then if I see that it's wrong, I'm getting better early on and be like, no, that's wrong. In the past, I was not. Like, I give people chance after chance after chance after chance. And then I'd be like, oh my gosh, this person has ruined it. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's happened. Mm-hmm. Right? But instead of isolating, I use a little bit more discernment. And then as soon as I see that something could be off, You got to address it immediately, right? As opposed to, you know, running, because that's what we do. We don't like to address stuff because we don't like conflict.
Right.
And so I think just in general, in the midst of quarantine, you do develop stronger relationships with some people because it's such an isolated time. But even I was talking to one of my friends that we only talk maybe 2-3 times a year. But every time we talk, we catch up on everything. Yeah. Like, it's like no time has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, even in this, these relationships still matter, right? Because you don't know what you offer someone else, and you don't know what you'll need from them too, or what they'll need from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think with my mother passing, I just saw how the people that I've allowed into my life and I've been vulnerable with, how well they blessed me during it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had been, you know, just isolated, I'd have been hungry because I couldn't cook. Like, I'm still at the place where I was like, last night I was like, yep, takeout. I don't even want the food in the refrigerator, takeout. But because I had allowed people to give to me, right? Because a part of that is still pride, right?
And
independence in a lot of ways is pride.
Yeah.
And I think because people see me being so independent, like my pastor prayed something, and I was like, yeah, that's not me, but all right, right? They see me being so independent, they don't realize just how dependent I am on people, right? There's a lot that makes everything move. There's a lot of people that make everything move. Like, some people don't even know this person is doing this, and that person is doing that, and this person is doing that. But that's because that's just the way the ecosystem works. But everyone has something to do.
Right.
And if you're, you know, I was saying, one of my homeboys, he working on 6 short films right now, but he like a one-man band. I was like, bro, it's the easy way.
Yeah.
Right? And so you can't then, because you're so isolated, you don't have anyone to pour into, and you also don't have anyone to help you while you're working.
Right. Well, I mean, I have those people. I'm just saying, adding new people.
Yeah, you have the same people.
Right.
And so you don't ever get any new energy to come into the space.
Right.
That then tells you something new about you.
It comes because we have gotten a lot closer within the last year, and definitely this year. And so.
Well, I'm a safe person.
And that's the thing.
I wasn't really a gamble.
No, you weren't a gamble. You were not.
You asked about me. I ain't a gamble.
You said something good where, like, letting other people love you and help you. And I think part of I'm so fixated on, like, okay, this person comes into my life. Like, how am I going to serve them? How am I going to make them feel? You know what I mean? Like, I'm so focused on what I'm going to do that I never stop to think, like, well, maybe God is sending this person to help me. And, you know what I mean?
Or for just mutual something.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
And so I think even in that, some people are only looking at themselves, which is another issue, right? If you're only looking at yourself, you don't see what you can offer someone, right? And so sometimes you're only looking at what you can offer them, and you're not realizing, like, that PA is going to bless your life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's levels to relationship, and not every person you meet online or in person is going to be like your ride or die. Right. But at the same time, that don't mean that other people that aren't your ride or dies can't be in your life. Right. Because sometimes ride or die ain't available. And who you going to call? Ghostbusters. Like, you ain't got nobody. Ghost. Casper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't saying, you know, just let the free fall of life happen.
I'm very careful of, you know, who gets in that space.
As you should be.
And so, but yeah, for some reason, it's just the newness of people.
What is it about new people that scare you? See, because I'm very, when new people, it depends. Like, if a new person can sometimes be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, because I'm 37, and so after my 30s, I got best friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have, like, I got a few people from, you know, 2 decades ago, right? But the way my life has been set up, if it wasn't for new people, I would have no friends because I got rid of everybody.
Wow. So yeah, I'm like the opposite.
Yeah.
My friends.
And I find that the people who are the opposite don't see the value in new relationships. It's almost like years of a friendship matter more than 1 year, and sometimes that 1 year can change your life.
That's true. Yeah. That history is important. It's not everything.
Mm-mm.
And you do recognize that. But yeah. Yeah, your I guess seasons. I'm used to that history, and so I'm just like, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym, like, you know. but you know, yeah, it's something to grow and think about. Just you know, letting people in. And
that's the hard part. And quarantine makes it even harder, right?
Yeah.
So what has been your experience with quarantine? Creativity.
So in the beginning, I wasn't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I was just
chilling. You were working on the house.
Let me not say it. So what happened was end of February, beginning of March, I was in LA. I had to come to Philly to work on a project at my church, which was supposed to be a week. I got church. Here.
Supposed to be.
Yeah, supposed to be. And when I got here, some other things had happened, so I had to stay like another week. And then literally, like, that's when they started shutting everything down. Mm. And so, like, 2 weeks in Philly turned into, like, 6 months. And I was just here with my family. We moved to a new house, like, in April. And so from the bid of, like, April up until, like, a month ago, I was, like, moving us, getting stuff situated, decorating the house. So I was occupied.
How much money did you spend?
Girl.
On that decoration. I want you to come help, but
Yeah, it was quite a bit. I just, you know.
It looks amazing.
Funneling money. Thank you. That definitely kept me sane through it. It gave me something to do. So I was doing that during quarantine. And then I just, like, kind of crashed and was doing nothing. You know, I did pick up a violin.
I went to the store
and picked up a violin and just been learning how to do the violin and stuff. And so
random.
Yeah, you got to do that. And sometimes I do that, like, when I don't feel as, because, you know, before mm-hmm. all this, I was, like, doing my installations. That mm-hmm. was something that I really wanted to start mm-hmm. focusing on. And so now everything shut down and stopped. It was like no planning in that. And so creatively, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And mm-hmm. so when those things happen, I always try to, like, I'll pick up and learn something else, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes it'll give me ideas to take back to photography or video or something. But yeah, sometimes I just walk away from my art. You know,
I don't think I've ever had that privilege
of walking away.
Yeah, I don't think I've even considered it.
Why?
For what? So I think I don't, like, for what?
You tell me why.
I don't know. I've always, like, if I'm not creating something physically, I'm making something in my head to make.
Okay. Like, so do you ever explore in other genres of art or just things, period? Like, do you take new cooking classes? You learn.
Well, I'm always doing something new with the stuff. Like, as far as, like, you know, I spent the whole month vegan, finding recipes and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm always reading something new.
Okay.
But, like, I think, like, I want to be able to master the genre I'm in first before I jump into another.
Hmm.
Right? But right now, for example, I'm about to jump into a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot less movement, right? Mm-hmm. It's not moving all over the world. But even in that, that's a feat to figure out how to do 35, 40 locations, right? And so I don't, I'll just do something new. Like, oh, I got this idea. Let me see who can help me make this idea.
Right, but it'll still be in film. So you're kind of always
film is everything. Film, right. There's not one piece of film that doesn't have graphics, photography,
right.
Fashion, color. It has everything.
Right.
And so it could be film. It could be writing. Writing. Like, film has literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something that I can physically make, and it can become something
mm-hmm.
without taking a gamble of just making, like,
anything. I mean, I'm a jumper.
Yes, you are a jumper.
I'll be learning plumbing. next month.
I'll be finding somebody to do the plumbing.
I will. I like using
you
my
like
hands.
The, you like the tech, like, you like technicality.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a jumper, so I will pick up anything I
feel. Which is why it might be hard also for you to get new people, to let new people in. Because that person would have to be able to jump with you as you jump.
Better have some sneakers on. No, they don't have to. I just might meet them wherever I'm jumping. And then when I jump back, it's like,
you don't think of people to include in your art, though. Oop. That face.
In what way? That's a good question. Yeah. In what way?
So, Ava DuVernay said, if your vision only includes you, it's too small. Right? I can't make what I make without, like, I looked at the IMDb, and the cast was 50. Mm-hmm. I can't make what I make without people, right? I could do the post without some people if I needed to, like, if I really, really, like, didn't have nothing. But for me, every single piece of what I do includes other people.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah, and so that's why. So for me,
like, I want people out of my creative process.
I need people in because I want their creativity too.
Wow.
It helps, like, you can have a vision, and this is something that I've learned. Like, some things I'm just unwavering, no, we're going to do it. Love You, Right? Everybody was like, literally, why don't we just wait till next summer? Mm-hmm. No, we're not waiting till next summer. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we cannot wait. I felt inside of me this was not one that we could wait on. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, all right. I guess we're going to figure it out. No, we ain't got the money, but we can figure it out. Right? But in every portion of the process, like, I even like to invite people into my writing process. Because then I can get your thoughts and not just mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this next time around, the sitcom, I sent the email to see if we're going to do a writer's room. But even before we get there, I got an outline.
Right. Wow.
We can deviate, but this is the heart.
Right.
You can deviate once you get into the heart.
And yeah.
But for me, every part of the process, I have to raise up people or be raised by people.
That's good. Yeah, I'm not. Like, I do have a team, and I do. I think when it, so I'm a bit different, whereas in the concepting stage, I just need to be alone, right?
I need that's understandable. I'm like,
figure this out. And part of it is I need to be healed by it first before, like, not always healed, but I need to be convincing of it first before I'm like, okay, yeah, this can be, like, taken out, you know, of my head and into the world now. But so when I get to that part, then I'm like, yeah, I have a team, and I'm like, hey, what do y'all think about this or that? No.
How much of it do they actually physically do with you?
A lot. Like, when I did my installation from the groundwork, Manny was with me through that whole process, and that was
how long you know Manny?
7 years now, maybe.
Ever got any interns to help you on?
Nah.
Brand new humans?
Nope.
You know the value in that?
Nope. I mean, I'm pretty sure there is value.
It's so much value. I haven't found it yet, though. It's a fresh spark of energy normally. Yeah. If you interview well.
Yeah. I mean, I think I will get there. Right now, I'm not.
Me, myself,
I'm
and
not.
It's all I got. And
and you know, Manny, we have really good battles, you know, creatively. And I appreciate him in that way because, like, he's the one person in my art that can really challenge me, but I know it's to make me better. You know, when he gives a criticism or something, it's not just to criticize, but it's always, like, he always has a end goal or something on the other side of it, and so I trust his criticism. You know, but like I said, that has taken years to develop that trust to be like, okay, I can let him in my creative process. Him and Lou, they're really my two main people that, like, I get, you know, whenever a client or a brand reaches out, I'm sending it to them to look over, like, check this out, you know. Look these people up on LinkedIn and make sure I'm not busy. You know, like, that, they are that crew. But when it just comes to, like, art in general, I'm always alone by myself in that initial stage. Because it's, you know, It's like healing to me first, and I don't like a lot of opinions coming in when I am just trying to focus.
You don't want
focus.
No creative husband then.
That's gonna be a whole
and a that's big misconception.
I'm sorry, not ready.
No, a big misconception. Me and Alan don't work together for real.
Mm.
We don't. We realize we really don't work well together.
Okay.
Because we have very different ways and thoughts.
And that's
right.
That's
he can ask me to do something and I'll do it for him and he'll give me input and I'll ask him to do something. He'll always tell me no, go find somebody else.
Mm.
Somebody else can do it better. And I'm like, no, you can do it. You gonna do it, right? And then he'd be like, no. And then he'd be down to the wire and then he comes up with this amazing thing.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he always says, I get to do cool stuff because my wife makes me do it.
Mm.
Right. And so I think, but we learn early on, our processes are really different. Right. And I think in general, I've learned the value of working in a team, right? Even if you don't like the people in your team, that doesn't mean someone else has something that they can't add. Or even if you don't always gel with the people in your team. Because right now, I think I'm working with 6 different teams.
Wow.
Between the school and CTM and the church, I think it's God, right? But I've learned to set expectations.
Right.
But I've also learned, this is what I know I can do. This is what I have to delegate. This is what can happen. Right. And I've learned I'm not going to be able to please everybody. Right. But I know that some things that I do, I can learn how to do them in the right function. But I've also learned some people I just can't work with.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing.
Right.
The same way as not letting certain people into your life.
And yeah, I get that. And I mean, I'm newly adopting a team around me where I realized, like, yo, you need help. I came in here today and I was about to put the crates together when it was like someone else.
That's
why
I was like, you
know,
we can do that.
Yeah, you know, I'm so used to, like, let me just
doing
do
it for
it.
Yourself. Yeah.
And so I'm new. I don't know. I must have missed that week of kindergarten.
Was isolated.
When we had to work,
you know, you
groups.
Was like, I got my own block.
Yeah.
What color
that's
you need?
How, right.
Here.
Yeah. And so
I was always trying to hustle the blocks.
I do.
Which one you need? What color you got?
Like, you know, and so we're working with, like, this team building coach. And so each of us in our agency is a group of 6 of us. We had to take these. Humbug agency. I haven't even officially announced yet, but
it's gonna be
I did.
Before it's out.
Yeah, it will. We will have launched. So it's a group of 6 of us, 6, me and my friends. So we just started our own agency. Yeah, we are. That's my team, man. They are all incredible.
I ain't got no money yet, though.
So they are producing, help produce this podcast. But so we each had to take, you know, assessment and our individual strengths and weaknesses. And so I score really high on, like, the person that likes to work behind the scenes and just, you know, like, I'm a just give me the task and let me go do it. You know what I mean? Like, all the extra stuff in the meeting, you know, I do those things because I have to, you know, be in a team setting. But if I had my, you know, preference, just give me what you need me to do and let me go do it. You know what I mean?
I'm like that too.
Keep it moving.
Especially for people stuff that's just paying me.
Right.
What you need me to do?
So, you know, and so, you know, I don't know. I just like, working by myself.
Okay.
And, but not for everything, because there are some things where it was like, okay, part of that too, the other side of, like, feeling like you're working by yourself is you put so much pressure on yourself that, like, you feel like you got to come up with all the ideas, you got to figure everything out.
That's
you got to,
like,
you know what I mean?
With people.
And so, yeah, in that sense, I'm like, oh no, I need, like, other people
or feedback,
helping me.
Even if you're not working with people, allowing people to, like, speak into your vision.
But, like, you know, if there was a project where I had to choose, like, oh, this could be done individually and this could be done with a team, I would probably pick it too.
Henry Ford said, I'd rather 1% of 100 men's work and desire than 100% of my own. And that's why he made the, what is it called? The assembly line. Because on an assembly line, you get more stuff done. When multiple people are doing the same task or different tasks. Well, when you're working by yourself, you get less done because you're the only one focused on doing it.
That is very true. And
we got robots
now. We got these robots now.
But you know, even in that, somebody got to make the robots.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I'm not speaking down but on think, teams. Teams are important. You do go down. Farther. I'm just saying my,
you can
know,
do bigger things.
Absolutely.
With more people.
Absolutely.
You do less with less people. Now, you might have a big impact, but I think Kevin Hart is a pure example of what it's like mm-hmm. to build a team.
That's true.
Stick with your team. Invite, like, some of these people are new. These are new guys. Like, mm-hmm. his trainer, he was a new addition, right, mm-hmm. who became a part of the team. But they are better together than right. they are by themselves. Yeah, he'll tell absolutely. You, like, I wouldn't be who I am without all of these guys,
yeah.
the Plastic Cup Boys, who go with me everywhere I go.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, that's why they get in $100,000 cars for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that as we're in quarantine, one of the cool things that we can all figure out is, like, how have you been able to create? One of the things that I created was the Artist Resistance T-shirt. Did I create that by myself? Certainly did not. Bruno Sky made that shirt, right? Mm-hmm. I had this idea. Well, okay, let me tell you. I was in Rec Philly. Rec, a place for creatives. If you're in Philly, check out recphilly.com. Really dope place. It's like a gym membership for creatives. Mm. Rec Philly had invited me to come and speak on their, it was called Safe Space, right? Mm-hmm. And so in there you had this little, matter of fact, so many different things. This is why you can't be a loner, right? And so Will invited me to come speak. I came speak. I really just poured into the young creatives that were there. You know, add on social media. Cool, cool, cool. I had encouraged them, like, during this time. It was really during, like, a lot of the rioting and resisting that was happening and the uprising. And I was like, this is the time to create. This is not the time. Because a lot of artists during COVID have been so stuck
yeah.
in how they created before that you can't create now, that you're trying to release the same thing that you did before, and you're like, I just don't feel it. No, you're yeah. not going to feel it yeah. right now. Like, nothing about what we are experiencing now is normal.
Yeah.
So you're not going to feel it. So I was just encouraging him to keep going, and people were blessed. And so Bruno had hit me up, and I saw his artwork, and I was like, yo, this dude is so amazing. And so I had came up with this idea, like, art is resistance. Like, go make something. Like, mm-hmm. don't trip out. Just go make something. Mm-hmm. I was like, look. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, I would like to make this, you know, this artwork. I don't know what it would look like. I want Spike, Ava, Tony, and Angela Davis on it. And I wanted to say, go make some underneath of it. And on the other side, I want Artist Resistance. And he made it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so how much I owe you?
Yeah.
He was like, nothing. I was like, huh? Like, I know how much this bull charges. And he just gave it to me.
Wow.
And so, made that, put that out. People liked it. Fast forward 2 months later, I had tagged everybody that was in the shirt in it before. And then randomly, this young lady, her name is at Skin John, J-A-W-N, who's a supporter because she was on both of the safe spaces. Mm-hmm. Right. So she follows me. She's encouraged. She's like, I love your work. I love who you are. You bless me. Right. She randomly one day, I guess, had her shirt on and tagged Ava DuVernay. And she followed me. Mm. And I don't think, this is one of the reasons why I'm so, like, always encouraging community. Like, don't isolate yourself. Don't self-isolate. It's, like, the worst thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, sometimes you need isolation time. I'm going through something with mama. I don't want people to call me all the time. Thank God. Thank you for all those who did not call me the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Right? Because sometimes you just need to sit with yourself mm-hmm. and sit in emotion and figure it out. But if it wasn't for this young lady that I didn't, you know, she followed me, she talked to me, and normally I'd be like, nah, right? And I was like, you know what? She seemed cool.
Wow.
Let me invite her in a little bit as opposed to just keeping her at a distance. And because she was blessed, she blessed me. Do y'all know how many years I've been trying to get Ava DuVernay to follow me? Do y'all how many times and I added and tagged her? And I just thought about it. I was like, because of my generosity
yeah.
to someone else, yeah. not wanting anything in return,
right.
but really just wanting to see her soar
right.
in her space, that happened.
Yes.
And I didn't get paid for that talk at art. Rec Philly was like, oh, all right, y'all want to do that? All right. All right, let me throw this hat on. Uh-huh. Hey, guys, I just want to encourage you. And I just encouraged them. And they invited me back. And so I just think, in general, creation during COVID, you have to go beyond what you can do or what people can do for you. Because I think that's also another issue with a lot of people, is that people want things from you. Instead of seeing, so you have the right perspective. what can I give the others. But you want to give so much that you just like, I only got time for seven people, right? And so I think there's a nice balance that can happen in this time of developing new relationships. Because I'll tell you, as a person, half of my relationships of how I'm kind of like, whatever the Lord is doing as far as whatever that, the climb that we're on, right, mm-hmm. have all been because of social media relationships. Mm. Hands down, social period. Media. My connections with people I have never met in person and simply being cordial online have led to doors being open for me. Like, 100% so. Like, I don't even, matter of fact, I just got into this program. I don't even know how, like, I know I was on Twitter, mm-hmm. but the way I didn't even follow the people. It was because somebody else told me about it. I was like, hey, you need to do this. And so I think the social media is a wonderful servant and a horrible master. And I think we have to remember that it can be our servant and not our master, right? And that takes a lot of breaks. But
yeah.
How have you been keeping yourself motivated? Have you been doing some stuff?
Yeah, I've been doing some dope stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not a total bum. Yeah, I've been doing stuff.
We still trying to get you to get a new computer, though.
Yeah, I need a whole upgrade of a lot of things. I think you have to know how to make adjustments,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I still was able to do an installation. It's just different.
You know, I was thinking you can definitely do an installation here.
I could.
The whole place. You could do a whole week here, actually.
I will.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Yeah, I will. We could turn it into a fundraiser, too.
And so, you know, so you just got to learn how to adjust and do things. And one thing about me is, like, I'm going to find a way to do what not just like what I want to do, like I'm wilding out, but I'm a, if it's something that I really have set to do,
what I want to do, that's a topic.
Okay. What I want to do. Yeah.
I only said that because me and my therapist was talking about something. I said, you know, I prefaced it, not what I want to do. And I was like, hold on. Why did I just do that? But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. We're going to swing back to that.
Yeah.
And so I just switch it up. I take a lot of lavender baths. Mm. And I ride my bike. Like I just still try to do things, mm-hmm. you know, even if it's on a small scale, even if it's 10 minutes, I just try to find time. I've been reading and buying a lot more books, which I'm not a book person, but you know, yeah, I'm reading books now. You know, I go in the park and I sit at the bench and I just watch the water and stuff. Or, you know, like,
isn't it so relaxing to read?
It is. It is actually good. I got a little reading chair and everything. And so I just, you know, I've learned just like a day at a time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like one day at a time. And, you know, just make the best of the times, mm-hmm. you know. I pray for energy. I pray for interest. You know what I mean? So I do say, Lord, like, help me let some new people in and not be a jerk. And, you know, because I recognize that's not what I am.
You was a little jerkish to me, though. Matter of fact, when I met you for the first time, because I didn't know who you was.
Really?
Was online, and because you have this, you created this aura for yourself. John was like, oh, this is Tierra. I was like, Tierra? He was like, you know her, brilliant dummy. And I was like, word? And then after you realized who I was, then you was like, oh, Christina Faith, you're Christina Faith. You paid no attention to me the entire time I was talking to John. I didn't take offense because I don't do that.
Where were we at?
We were at a Rec Philly event because I had to remember where I first met.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay, I did meet you there. And I was,
you got to be kind to all people at all times.
You know, I was probably, once he said
that big
who
hair
I was,
too.
I was probably like, oh,
dang,
God.
Why you telling me?
Yeah, because I don't like that neither. I'm like, just tell this person my real name. That's where I met you the first time?
That is.
In person, though.
In person.
But we have, okay.
We knew each other. Like, we had been texting.
Yeah.
You know, I texted you for like 2-3 years and didn't know what you looked like? That's ridiculous.
No.
I thought you was a Hispanic girl, to be honest. When I saw her, I was like, she black? I swear to God.
I could be in Dominican, baby.
I was like, you's Dominican.
We did read at Rec Philly. Yeah, I don't remember what was going on that day. But, Sorry. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, when I'm at certain events like that, it's just a guard where you're like, okay, what, you know.
You've been in LA too long.
Not too long. But,
I hope you go back.
I'm going back. But yeah, I mean, that's that.
It happened. Oh God, I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah, we've been going.
So let me answer that question. This has been a very hard season. So I went through the robbery incident, and then my mother got sicker and sicker and sicker. Before that, she was sick. She'd been in and out of hospital about 9, 10 times during COVID. And then she passed. And so it has been the, how can I say? I'm really thankful. Mm. Let me say my gratitude first. I'm really thankful for all the work I did before, right? All the times that people were like, why don't you just put that out? Why don't you just wait to do that? And we didn't listen. I'm really thankful for that, because during this season, all I've been doing is stuff that needed to be finished, right? Mm. And so now we've got a nice little arsenal of stuff to bring out. And so that's one way. I've been editing for my church every Friday and Saturday. And so that's ending soon. So I'm excited, because I'm just going to turn that time that I had already dedicated into writing time.
Okay.
Because of all that has happened in my life, I haven't really written. And it's time to write. And I'm excited to write. And I was writing before a little bit, but it was in spurts, because of like every other day I was having to go to see my mother in the hospital, or she was at the house. So I was taking care of her while doing everything else. And so I'm really excited to figure that out. But one of the things that I've had to do was force myself to be an active participant in my creativity now. Right? That's not true. Just because it's so much more easier, because depression and isolation and those things will stop you from doing things. And so because I know that, it's kind of like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it, right? So I've been working out. That's like something that, and I realized community is like super important. And so the first time, because I gained 10 pounds in COVID, and I got on and looked at myself and I was like, and I got on a scale, I was like, And then one of my, I know, I was like, hold on. And so I started to build a little home gym. How does this happen? It's ridiculous. But, and then one of my friends was like, hey, let's get on the bike every day for 30 days. Let's do Peloton every day. And I was like, why am I saying yes to this? And I said yes. And I really believe that that yes saved my life. Because I don't think working out does and releases so many endorphins and balances you so well, that even in the midst of going through the loss of my mother, it gave me something to come back to push. Right? And so in that push, I realized, oh, this is therapy. And so I've been doing that. I've been doing essential oils. I got the lavenders and all that. You know, got the frankincense.
Yes,
I got the I got the eucalyptus. And so I've been doing essential oils. I've been actively talking to people who I want to talk to about my life.
Keyword that you want to talk to.
I've had deadlines that it doesn't matter how I feel. Deadlines don't care. Like when you figure out, oh, if I don't turn this in 40 days, I'm going to get a $10,000 fine every single day. I'm turning some stuff in. And then I've also had teams. And so, for example, our marketing team has been working and planning and preparing for the release. And so I'm hopping on a call once a week, but they're working the whole time. Right. And so Mocha has been really amazing at keeping momentum going, because when you stop shooting, folks fall off. And when you're in an editing process and that thing take months, folks fall off. And so it's been really cool to continue and push through to get where we're about to go. Have I made anything else? I did a lot of work that people don't know about during this time. The school, of course. But mainly, like, I've been into sneakers a lot.
You always you're a sneaker.
I love sneakers.
Head, she took me on a tour of their house, and
don't
I
tell
mean,
people in my house.
Child, she just sneakers.
It's not.
It's
a lot.
A museum.
It's like 10 pairs.
It's a museum. It's a whole museum.
And
in
so,
there.
Yeah, and I've been working on my house and fixing my house up, trying to make sure that feels homely, feng shui and homely.
And that's important. Like
it really
your home.
Is. It really is.
If it ain't peace in your home,
if it ain't right.
It's
like
gonna be
if you need to put
hard.
Some paint on your walls, put some paint on your walls. Like You know, one of the things me and Alan did in every house that we lived in is we redid it. We didn't care what the landlord, can we do this? Mm-hmm. Yes. And we just did it. Now, mm-hmm. granted, the last house we didn't do that because we was like, yeah, no, we ain't doing nothing till we buy a house. But mm-hmm. at the same time, we wanted to feel like it's home when you come home.
Yeah.
And so, for example, I painted my basement. Because mm-hmm. that basement did not feel like home. I went there and I was looking at these yellow walls. Like, yeah. And then my Instagram was not flowing. It wasn't right.
Right, with your bike, it didn't match. No, you didn't right. match. It looks amazing.
See,
there.
He was like, with your bike, it didn't right. match. It didn't so, match the bike. So. You got to make it match. And so self-care, I do a facial every Friday. I meditate almost every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Centering prayer is the proper term for what I do. And that's it. All right. Looks, where are we about to go on another lockdown? How are you preparing? Oh, we definitely going to lockdown, y'all.
Yeah, we about to go back,
so
y'all.
If we don't go on a lockdown before January, we're going into lockdown on January 20th, y'all. 21st, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris going to lock
they
us in.
They lock it down.
Now, they probably going to give the money we need for the lockdown, Lord willing. But they
he
lock
ain't
us cause
down. He ain't sending that last stimulus check. I no, guess he he's like y'all ain't getting that stimulus.
Joe, if you Kamala, if you're listening, President elect and Vice President elect, can y'all cancel these student loans though? If y'all can do that, the Democratic Party has my vote for the next 20 years because the choice is crazy. How am I preparing? I am preparing by preparing to shoot a sitcom that is in a house on 3 weekends, and that's it.
Wow. Okay.
I gotta have something to do when you in the house.
Yeah, you are gonna have something to do. So I started like taking it's a storage room in my basement, so mm-hmm. I'm like painting that to make that into a home office mm-hmm. just in case, you know, we have to lock back down. I've just been preparing in other ways, too, just for my family mm-hmm. as far as tangible things,
mm-hmm.
stacking up on water and canned, just other things.
First of all, why y'all think the water
listen,
is perfect?
Listen, I don't know. You just going to need water, okay? You just going to need.
I be hating y'all.
You don't got a
you
filter.
You go into the store and you don't see no water bottles.
Right, she was like, why y'all?
Why
they
y'all
might
stocking
turn
up
the water
water?
Off.
Y'all expecting the gas to get cut off? Like,
it's a whole, I've been buying like solar panels and stuff. You just don't, I
don't
put
don't
nothing.
Know.
Yeah, you just don't know what can happen.
You need to stop saying 2020. 2020, 2021, 2022.
Yeah, you just don't know what can happen. So I think like, you know.
Y'all know we don't live in a third world country though. A lot of things have to happen for all the electricity in the world of the United States to go out.
I know. But,
for the water to stop.
You just don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think the good thing too was even last year, like the Lord was just teaching me rest, like stopping. Mm. And so like Mondays are now like my Sabbath days. I don't do anything on Monday. I don't do nothing. And so that was like training me to like stop and not have to, you know, mm-hmm. I was just telling you walking in here, like I recognize I rush a lot. Like I walk fast, I eat fast. Like I'm always
you tore that half a
doing
chicken
a million.
You
want to
see
day.
A dead body? You just told us half a chicken.
Look, we went to the spa today and I was up early getting ready for this and then we just had to grab something on the go and I'm just always rushing. And so I'm trying to be more mindful to like stop, you know? So if we gotta stop again, I think I'm cool with it. It's cool with my soul.
I'm fine with it.
You know?
I wish I could stop.
It's about
school.
To be cold, so I mean, probably not a lot of people, at least on the East Coast, is not going to be out anyway. But, you know.
You know, they still going to want to go to their Thanksgiving. Can y'all just stay home for Thanksgiving? Like, can y'all get your place at the door?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be great.
Find peace. But, yeah, I would definitely say, like, learn how to create peace in your home.
Mm-hmm. And if you need some tips, Tierra's available for hire.
Not higher. I could give y'all tutorials on how to create lighting setups and stuff.
See, you just messed all your dollars. You just missed all of them.
I mean, I can't come to your crib. I definitely got pointers.
Lighting tutorials.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. But, yeah, just, you know, take care of your body, like Chris is saying. That's very important to how you're able to handle different stressors and things. So, you know, I would just definitely say that in preparation if we do have to lock down again.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not, though.
So what books, what music, what podcasts you want to shout out, shorty?
What am I?
Or one cool thing that you discovered.
One this week. Oh, Eric showed me this light in this meter thing. How he...
A light meter?
No, not a light meter. He was measuring the walls and stuff and had lasers up. And I was like, what is you doing?
So what's it called?
I'm just learning from him a lot. I don't know. Well,
Eric, what's it called?
Digital tape measure. I didn't know those existed. And so, yeah, I'm just having fun learning about cinematography and, you know, little cool knickknacks. So I'm going to have to get a digital measurer.
Digital tape measure.
So that really blew me away. I was like, does he have a laser? What's going on? He was measuring the set and like making sure everything was like taped off. And I'm just like, yeah, it's good to have a team. It's
good to have somebody else who don't know, who know what you don't know.
That, yeah. So I thought that was I thought that was really cool.
My bad. Because I was trying to tell you my one cool thing. The Allender Center podcast, Allender. The Allender Center is a therapy center.
Okay.
It is not here, but one of the head of it, she actually lives here.
Okay.
In Philadelphia. But the Allender Center podcast is a really good podcast if you want to experience healing spiritually, mentally, and physically. And they talk about all kinds of different topics. Allender is Dr. Dan Allender. He created it, but he's really good in opening his hands and allowing others to lead it.
Okay.
And so they have a weekly podcast, and it's been really good. I stumbled upon it because, you know, I went through spiritual abuse, and so somebody has sent me, you know, a podcast on it like 2 years ago of spiritual abuse, and they were walking through what it looks like. And so they have things like the reality of marriage, calling in character, trust and submission to authority, love and courage in a global pandemic, what men wish men knew about sexuality, what women wish men knew about sexuality, and things like that. But they talk about it from a therapy perspective, a therapist perspective. So it's really good. And so it's biblical as well.
Wow.
So that's a really good podcast. Yeah. And so that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
I think that is it for this week.
Hey, see you guys next time. Thank you so much for joining us. See you guys next time. Thank you so much for joining us on A Lot of Hats podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm your girl, Christina Faith. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram or any other social media place at Christina Faith.
And you can find me at A Brilliant Dummy.
And you can follow us online at A Lot of Hats Pod _ is what the name is. But if you just type in A Lot of Hats, A-L-O-T-T-A, you'll find us. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. Be blessed, beloved.